In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is already the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, and we celebrate St. John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus. There's a book that he wrote that I would recommend everybody read, with the exception of the fifth chapter. Only read that if you are healthy spiritually. But it's a great book to read. I read it every single Great Lent. And I recommend it very highly. It would be on my desert island list of books. Truly a remarkable masterpiece of how to live. It's not just for monks. It's the way of life that he describes. And one of my themes during Great Lent that I try to do every year, perhaps you get tired of it. I hope you don't, because I never get tired of it. Because Great Lent leads us to life. So I like to talk about the purpose of Great Lent. I do that several times. And this will be partially about the purpose of Great Lent, because the epistle for St. John so much lends itself to this. It's an epistle for him. And Great Lent, historically, the commemorations of the Sundays of Great Lent are relatively recent. St. John and St. Gregory and the cross, St. Mary of Egypt, those are relatively recent. I don't remember how many centuries, but by Orthodox timing, they're recent. There were other commemorations before, and the church replaced them with these commemorations. Partially, I think St. John, partially, to be honest with you, although I don't know this for sure, his book has been read during Great Lent for a long time. Very popular in Russia, very popular in Greece, very popular in other Orthodox countries, and even popular here. Although if you look at the catalog of Orthodox booksellers, about 90% of it's fluff. This is not fluff, so you should get this book. The epistle is from Ephesians, and it is describing St. John and all the venerable saints. Because when people became holy, they brought to fruition these things that St. Paul is talking about. So this is the description, basically, of a holy person. But it's also full of admonitions to become holy. So let's look at some of it. So he says, about midway in the reading, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." There's a double meaning here. Of course, that is from the scriptures. Paul is quoting from the Old Testament and giving it a resurrectional character. Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light, and arise from the dead. So it's about the resurrection, but it's also about the fact that we sleep in our sins. The saints didn't sleep in their sins. The saints fought their sins. That's the difference between a saint and kind of a regular person. A regular person who goes to church, whether they go regularly or not, or fast regularly or not, they're not really engaged in all-out warfare against their sins. But the saints were. And that's the difference between them and us. We should narrow that difference. Great Lent is a time for doing that. Great Lent is the time for waking up, for saying, I've got to get with it. I really have been too long in this state of being lazy, of judging people, of having bad thoughts, of engaging in things that are shameful. I got to do something about this. I got to change the kind of person I am. And this is a good time to be doing it, to awake from the sleep of sin. Now, at the end of Great Lent, of course, and Holy Week, we celebrate the resurrection. And the resurrection has to be made manifest in us, not just an event that we know about, but something that absolutely permeates everything we do. So Great Lent, the purpose of Great Lent is to prepare yourself so that the Holy Resurrection will truly give you light. So in order to have this preparation, we have to do certain things. St. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So this is the time to walk circumspectly. This is the time to fast better than you usually do, or perhaps begin fasting. This is the time to be reading the scriptures. Many of you struggle with this. This is a difficult habit. Don't feel bad about the fact that you maybe struggle with it, but feel real bad if you don't struggle with it. You should struggle to indeed read the scriptures in a circumspect way, in a way that teaches you about God, especially the Gospels, especially the Psalter, but all of the scriptures. We have to walk in a circumspect way. Our life now, our modern life, is not circumspect at all. There are too many distractions. There's so many things. There's television, and if you don't have a brick through your television, then I wonder, you're not using your television correctly. It doesn't really add anything to you. There's, of course, social media, email, etc. You can't even go to the grocery store without being bombarded with images. Even if you see a bus pass, it has images on it, often moving images. And there's a coarseness to life where people are more interested in movie stars and athletes and diva singers and all the rest who are leading wretched lives, many of them. And they are the models. They are the interesting people, even to Orthodox Christians, God help them. And it's hard to work to walk in a circumspect way. In fact, it's impossible if we're interested in whatever particular popular person has done with their marriage or their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever. This is a terrible thing. I just was reading, or not reading, but listening to an excellent recounting of the life of Saint Nectarios from an abbot in Australia, Father Cosmos. He has these talks, Orthodox talks, and many of them are quite good. And he is recounting the life of Saint Nectarios. And one of the things about Saint Nectarios that is so striking is that he was a very pure boy. His grandmother and his mother and his father taught him the Orthodox faith. He copied out things in his books. He got some paper and copied out sayings of the saints and of the scriptures, and always wanted to become a teacher and a minister. And through many amazing miracles in his mundane daily life, he was able to accomplish that. But there was a purity in him. He didn't hang out with the bad crowd. He went to Constantinople, a big old city full of sin, by himself at the age of 14, right when the hormones are kicking in, and he didn't have anything to do with that crowd. He worked for a tobacconist that was just very cruel, and eventually, by God's providence, a kind man took him in. There's amazing the stories of the small sort of miracles. They were miracles, but they were just sort of part of his daily life because God was with him. But the point I want to make about him now is that he was always careful in how he lived, the things he said, and those sort of things. We in this life, we're not very careful. You have to walk circumspectly. You have to watch the things you say, the things you look at, the things you value, the things you talk about, etc. And then St. Paul says, after saying walk circumspectly, don't be as a fool, but be wise. The wisdom of the world is foolishness. We have to find the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is not readily accessible because God expects you to be interested in it. God expects you to be serious about it. He will not reveal himself to you unless you are circumspect and serious. That's part of the reason why, by the way. Some of you complain to me, you read the Bible, you don't understand it. Well, if you're a worldly person, you're not going to understand it. You might understand the syntax. You might even learn all the archaic words. but you're not going to understand what it means, the spiritual dimensions of it, which are numerous, actually infinite. So you have to develop a circumspect way of life. That's why it's so important to have a practical life where you have time. You make time. Don't anybody ever say they don't have time to pray and to read. There is always time. Because if there's time to watch television, there's time to pray. If there's time to read some trashy magazine, there's time to pray. If there's time to kind of sit back in a long chair and have a beer, there was time to pray. So there is time to pray. There is time to read. And this is something that you must develop in your life. It's a very hard thing to do. It was very difficult for me to develop these things. And I still am weak in some of them. But nobody told me. Become Orthodox, and it was a whole different way of life. So you must struggle to have a circumspect way of life. If you don't have a daily prayer rule, you're starving to death, and you might not even know it. If you don't read the scriptures regularly, I'm talking about daily with some exceptions. I mean, things happen. People go to the hospital, and there's emergencies, etc. But if in general you're not reading the scriptures daily and praying daily, and also praying for others, very critical. If you're not doing those three things, then you're starving to death. You cannot be walking circumspectly if you're not doing those things. And the reason why is because God feeds us through these things, and also, of course, coming to church, coming to confession, coming to the Holy Mysteries with preparation. All of these things, God cumulatively gives us wisdom and helps us. So you must develop these habits. Nobody can do it for you. You can hear me tell you about it maybe 58 times a year. Maybe that's conservative, huh? But you must do it. So St. Paul goes on to say, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Great Lent is a time when you should be seeing the contrast between good and evil. The saints did. This is a skill that has to be developed from circumspectly walking, from praying, from fasting, from struggling to love your brother, reading the scriptures, all these things, and then having this skill, which is also called the remembrance of death, to remember what is good, what is bad, what is life, what is death. The days are evil. All you need to do is pick up a newspaper, say it archaically, or to look at your phone, news, and see that the days are evil. They're filled with evil. Not just evil things that people are doing to one another, but modern society has lost its purpose and its sense of meaning. It defines itself in things that are nonsensical as being an identity. Most people, including most people that walk into an Orthodox church, live without any significant purpose. They just go from day to day. They're not bad people, but they're not recognizing that the days are evil. There is good and there is bad, and you have to recognize both and reject that which is bad and cleave to that which is good. St. Paul says it another way when he says, redeem the time because the days are evil. He continues and says basically the same thing. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is the purpose of Great Lent. It's the purpose of life in general, but Great Lent is sort of a concentrated effort because we can't maintain a concentration for an infinite number of days. So Great Lent is a time to truly focus, to be more circumspect, and to recognize that we are not wise, we are unwise, and we are trying to become wise. And the only one that can make us wise is the wisdom, is God who is wisdom. So we cleave to Him through our spiritual, ascetical exercises. This is the way of life. The way of death is just to live day to day. And there's a lot of people in the church that live the way of death. They don't look like bad people. They're good people from a worldly perspective. But that's not good enough. We are to be like the saints. We are called to be saints, by the way. We're called to perfection. For us, salvation is not just some sort of formal declaration that God says you're forgiven your sins. For us, salvation is where the heart becomes perfected and is united with God. And a heart that is full of sin, full of distraction, full of foolishness, cannot be united with God. So this is a time for you to try a little harder. Now don't lose heart. If you're bad at this stuff, don't lose heart. If you don't try at this stuff, well, you should be very worried. But if you're bad at it, if you have bad habits, if you're a pretty worldly person, well, do something about it. It's as simple as that. If you cuss, well, do something about it. Tell you what I tell a lot of people to do when they cuss, have a notebook. And every time they cuss, put a check mark. And at the end of the day, do a prostration for each cuss word. Now, either they will learn to stop cussing or they will get in really, really good shape. One or the other. But it takes discipline to do that. It takes humility to do that. It takes humility when after you've told a dirty joke to put a check mark, maybe two or three, and people say, what's that book for? He says, oh, you could say, well, my spiritual father has told me that this is a way for me to learn to stop cussing because I do a prostration every time I do a cuss word. And then go do it at home. But I'm going to tell you a secret. When I tell people this, invariably they say, I don't know how many yesterday or the day before or this week. I forgot to mark them down. Did you do your prostrations? Oh, no, I was tired or this happened or that happened. Blah, 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 blah. If you're serious about stopping cussing, then you're going to do it. If you're serious about stopping having bad sexual thoughts, then you're going to do something about it. You're going to stop watching TV late at night. How about that? You're going to pray. You're going to come to the priest and confess it. You're going to do prostrations. See, whether you're bad at something or not, I don't care. God doesn't care. God is the one who makes us good. What's important is that you struggle. That's the important thing. And that's what Great Lent is for. Now, St. John of the Ladder struggled and became like an angel in the flesh, as his troparion talks about. We're not going to become like angels, most of us. But God will receive our repentance if we struggle. This is the important thing. Now, I talk like this a lot because this is the way of life. But in our world, people don't like to hear about the bad stuff. They think hearing about the bad stuff is overly negative or causes a person perhaps to fall into despair, despondency, or that perhaps it's judgmental or something of that nature. It's not overly negative to understand that you have a problem. It's stupid to not understand that you have a problem. So if you're not a spiritual person, we're called to be spiritual. That's a problem. So do something about it. Perhaps you can't stay up and do prostrations all night long, like St. Nectarius did for his students. I'll tell you this story as a little aside. Go down a rabbit trail. St. Nectarius, he was a headmaster of a school, and the boys were very obedient to him. And the reason why is because when they disobeyed, when they did something bad, St. Nectarius would be in his office all night long doing prostrations, and they found out. Probably they heard him, right? The floors creaking and such. And so because he punished himself to pray for the boy, nobody wanted to make their Abba say, all these prostrations and do all this work. So they were good. So it takes effort to do things. It takes effort. So let's try a little harder, huh? We've got a big week coming up. Lots of opportunities to be a little more circumspect. Not only pre-sanctified on Tuesday, but also on Wednesday night, the Great Canon with the life of St. Mary. It's long. It's very long. You'll get very tired. You might want to come just for the canon. Okay. The first half or third of the service, the canon's done by then. Something like that. And that's better than nothing, and if that's what you can do, do it. But if you can stay to the end, and certainly hear the life of St. Mary, which by the time the fourth ode of the canon is finished, or before the fourth ode begins, her life is finished. We say it in two pieces. Everyone should listen to the life of St. Mary. That's your life too. Except you're not going out into the desert and repenting. You should be. So you've got the life of St. Mary and the Great Canon on Wednesday. Then we have the salutations to the Theotokos on Friday evening. It's a great opportunity to be more circumspect. Those of you that come to church on Sunday and not on other days, you haven't been in a Lenten service yet. Because this is technically, liturgically, it's not considered to be Lent. And we are celebrating the resurrection and being more festive. We're eating wine and oil if we wish. The fasting is less. But if you go during the week and you do the prostrations with St. Ephrem's prayer, then there's a certain thing that happens to your heart. Very helpful. That's a way to walk more circumspectly, to be part of the Lenten services, certainly this week, especially this week. And then Holy Week, of course, which is only 2 weeks after that. And then Pascha. And Pascha's not about eating sausage. Pascha is about having the light of Christ revealed in us, or to us, and becoming part of us. And the preparation work you do now will cause that revelation of light to be more known to you. The light will still be there, but if your eyes are closed, you don't see it. So we're trying to open our eyes now by doing the things that St. Paul talks about, by waking up, by walking circumspectly, by trying not to be so foolish but be more wise, to redeem the time, to recognize that the days are evil, there's good and bad, and to recognize what is good and bad. That's what we're trying to do right now. May God grant it for us. May you have a good Lent, the rest of the Lent. May the light of Christ shine upon you, and may you see it, and may it change you and perfect you. God bless you.